Philippe Petit finance all of this?
The question was how the whole cable was financed, which is a very good question. There's a section in the film originally in the sort of longer version which explained how, so I'll give you the kind of plotted history of that. He was a street performer, is what you may have kind of implied from the film. And so his day-to-day sort of financing is from performing in the street and doing magic tricks. But for this particular adventure, flying over from France. So at one point in the story, he goes to Germany to meet with the world's greatest juggler, this man named Francis Brune, who really was the world's greatest juggler. And Francis was quite well established and had quite a bit of money, so he just gave Philippe literally a suitcase full of German marks. And that was it. And so Philippe then made a budget in his own kind of mad way and managed to kind of construct, you know, the kind of operational activities of the team. So that's kind of how it came about. He was a kind of service performer who financed much of the I know how much it cost, and I bet it was sweet as I am.
Yes, you can't help but be moved by the images of the building of the World Trade Center and the structure itself and all of that, and the planning of what these guys did. There's a sense of such joy in watching this, but at the same time, you can't help but be drawn to the analogy of what happened in 9/11. And I'm wondering whether you made an effort to avoid making any reference.
But the question, just so everyone can put it back, is, you know, the subtext, I guess, of seeing the buildings now in this film in a much more innocent way, as opposed to what I guess we all know. And I felt very strongly that subtext should remain a subtext, and that we've all seen the buildings, you know, be destroyed over and over and over again. And I felt so happy to see them go up and see them being built. And for Philippe, they had a very specific purpose. They weren't office buildings, they were a kind of stage. I felt that it was very important to enter into his point of view when looking at the buildings, and he saw them as these wonderful opportunities, you know, two towers, the highest buildings at that time in the world, to do a performance. So the film is a very subjective account of his view of those buildings, and I think it would have been a huge mistake to confuse that innocent adventure with what happened 30 years later, though I'm very aware of the subtext, and I'm sure, you know, you kind of just trust the audience to bring that understanding to the film and not want to make it overt or in any way explicit. It feels, you know, it would be a travesty to mix those two things up. And I think, you know, it's very poignant. I live in New York, I witnessed what happened and saw them come down, and there's no way I wanted to see that in this film. And so I think it's a small antidote to that, then that's great. You know, one doesn't need to make any reference to it, I think, for it to be, you know, disrespectful or anything like that. I think that's, you know, the point of the film, the purpose of the film. Wonderful.
Yeah, did he remain a performance artist after
this? Yes,
and he still is a performance artist.
He still walks the wire.
Wow.
So the question was, does Philippe still walk the wire and remain an artist of that ilk? And the answer is emphatically, yes, he does. And it is. That's a good question. Whatever he can, we do not want to. You can't do illegal ones anymore because people will shoot you on sight. You know, it's not possible. JFK with a bug out of your suitcase anymore. So